When the news gets complicated, you don't need more volume. You need better questions. Better questions. Hugh Hewitt sits down with lawmakers, legal experts, journalists, and insiders, and actually lets them talk. Lets them talk. Long-form interviews, real context, and time to understand what's really happening behind the headlines. Hugh Hewitt. Weekdays 2 to 4 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
We have a motion on the floor for a compensation.
Second.
In a second. Any discussion?
Yes, I would have a discussion, Mr. Chair.
So the Pensacola State College Board of Trustees meeting from last week, where you had Chair Gordon Sprague saying that we're going to talk about compensation for President Ed Meadows. You might have heard this story. There's some good coverage of this last week. But, you know, as far as I know, I'm the only one that's got the audio for this. This was a fascinating thing to listen to. And I'm sorry that I was on vacation when it all went down. But as would come as no surprise to those of you who pay attention to such things, if anybody is going to be a thorn in the side of Ed Meadows on this Pensacola State Board of Trustees, it's going to be, guess who? Zach Smith. Yeah, Zach Smith. see, when I tell you that Zach Smith is the troublemaker on both UWF and PSC boards, just trust me. I'm not making this up. He's one of DeSantis. I mean, he's DeSantis's guy of guys, you know, like in there to do whatever DeSantis wants him to do. Or as far as I can tell, that's what it looks like. So does anybody want to talk about this?
Yes, I would have a discussion, Mr. Chair.
Yes, I have some discussion about this.
The Compensation Committee report, is this to approve President Meadows' compensation that was discussed in the committee meeting?
It's to approve his compensation and his contract, yes.
And I assume, Mr. Ball, there's no issue discussing this in a public forum.
In fact, you must. Yeah. Okay.
I do have concerns about this, and I raise my concerns in the compensation committee.
Okay, so first of all, Gordon Sprague got it wrong. It was not about the contract. It was only about a $50,000 bonus for work that he had done throughout the state in the last year, trying to compensate him for that extra work above and beyond his duties, and then $25,000 of a raise to a $354,000, something like that, $1,000 contract that he already has. So a significant raise, you know, 7%, and a bonus of 14% for work that had been done over the course of the year. And Zach Smith, and, you know, so Gordon was wrong in what he said, and that kind of got misreported, and then it got corrected by the PNJ, which, you know, sometimes it's, you kind of take the board members to know what they're talking about, and sometimes they make mistakes. Okay, so Zach Smith says, I have concerns about giving him this money.
Obviously, I have great respect for Dr. Meadows, but I have been blunt with him about my concerns with his performance. There have been several times when he has provided inaccurate information to me prior to a board meeting. There have been times when things were mandated by state law, for instance, the continuing contract review, that were not updated until it was pointed out to him that that had been an oversight. And so I do have concerns about it.
He has failed me. He's done me dirty, and I don't want him to get more pay. And here I am saying it. Remember, he's raised objections against Ed Meadows in the past. I have said it was my belief that he is going to try to orchestrate the removal of Ed Meadows, just like he was a part of, although maybe not perhaps the primary, but he was definitely one of the attack dogs involved in getting rid of Martha Saunders. So you're now seeing the second of our two widely respected, admired, beloved leaders of our two educational institutions of three. You know, PCC is the only other one, and thank God he's not on the board for them. that's a whole separate matter, and that's not something that the governor gets to pick as a private institution. But he says, you know, I have great respect for Ed Meadows. However, screw him. I mean, like, that's what he's saying, right?
And at least as I understand it, the compensation committee has voted to give Dr. Meadows a $25,000 raise in his base salary and a $50,000 bonus for last year. And I personally, while I appreciate Dr. Meadows, I would not be supportive of either of those measures. And I do think it places new board members in a difficult position where essentially they are being asked to vote to improve performance-based metric, but they have not had a chance to observe. yes.
So I like him real good. I just don't want to pay him this extra money. And I've got my criticisms of him, but I still respect him a lot. But I definitely don't want to give him $75,000, which, by the way, if you think about it, you know, $75,000 is a lot of money one way or the other. It's a lot to this, to the, you know, the community college or the state college. It's also a lot to Ed Meadows, obviously. I mean, that's like 20% of his annual pay. That's significant. So, you know, having $75,000 rise or fall on the opinions of one Zach Smith is kind of a precarious position to be in. So they went ahead and they have the vote, which, by the way, if I don't, he seems to object to both. And his comments would seem to me to be an objection more to the raise rather than to the bonus, because the bonus had to do with work on other matters, as I understand it, not matters specifically within the domain that he's criticizing him for. But he didn't make that nuanced distinction. He just said no to both. And so then they have the vote.
Any other discussion?
No other discussion.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries.
So he gets the bonus. But wait, there's more. Because on a voice vote with a call of the voice vote for the yeas, he got it. And of course, part of the challenge, and Zach had brought this up, is that some of the people who are brand new to the board, three of the DeSantis appointees have just gone in, and they literally have no experience of Ed Meadows' performance in the past. And here they are voting on a thing, and they have to vote on it. They have to do it in public. That's what he was asking Mr. Ball, who's the attorney. You know, do they have to talk about this? So I'll just say it this way. It was a voice vote for yes, called by the chair, yes. And that's when things got weird. We'll come back to this in a second. We've got PJ with traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash, I-10 eastbound right at mile marker 11. That's the Highway 29 exit. No roadblock. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
All right. So they voted yes, or so we thought, and then things get really strange. And when I say it, you try, as we play the rest of it, you'll see what I'm talking about.
Well, can we, Mr. Chair, can we have a roll call vote on that? I would request a roll call.
That is a perfectly normal thing to ask when you're on the losing side of a voice vote, especially when you have a concern that maybe the voice vote got it wrong, like by acclamation, but there was some nays and we're not quite sure. Zach Smith is entirely within his rights to ask this. It is a perfectly normal, routine, appropriate thing to ask.
Professor Rocco? Sure.
And I would think we've already voted.
We have voted. That's my record.
So I don't know who the other voice is, but somebody says, well, I think we already voted. It's a matter of record. Yeah, but this happens all the time. You make a voice vote, and then somebody says, I'd like the yeas and nays, and then you go back and do it by name. That's 100% normal. It's not like it's over just because you had a voice vote, but somehow this sends them in a total procedural tailspin. They almost just don't know what to do. Because it seemed like not everybody voted by voice, like some of the new board members might not have even voted. And there was uncertainty about who's allowed to vote. And they talked about this because of their newness on the board. So Zach Smith, ultimately, over all of this confusion, he says, I just want to table the vote and we'll come back to it next month.
I'm prepared to take a vote based on the motion.
I would move to amend the motion, Mr. Chair.
Pardon me?
I would move to amend.
He's moving to amend.
And I would amend that we table this until a future board meeting.
Okay, we got a motion to table. Is there a second? Not being a second, the motion fails.
So it dies for lack of a second, but wait, there's more.
Am I able to second? I will second.
And I think that's one of the new members, okay, who probably doesn't know a lot about, you know, Robert's rules or parliamentary procedure, and you technically can't second something after the chair has called it dying for lack of a second, but they'll allow it.
Give him a second.
Yes, sir, I will.
Okay. Any other discussion about it? What's the table? Taking that up as a vote, all those in favor.
I request a roll call, Mr. Chair.
So having been denied the roll call vote on the first vote, Zach is smartly interjecting here and saying, well, I want a roll call vote from the start. I don't want to go through that nonsense again. So a roll call on the motion to table the vote to give Ed Meadows the $75,000 raise.
Great. I'd request a roll call vote.
Do a vote for it and then go back. All those in favor of the motion.
Order. If a roll call is requested, you have to take a roll call, Mr. Ball.
I think you can ask for it as Mr. Chairman Sprague said, and then ask for roll call after the initial vote is made.
So he wasn't allowed to get the roll call in the first round. Now he's saying, I'd like to do the roll call first. The attorney says, you can do the voice vote and then do the roll call. And Zach's like, wait, whoa, I just got screwed on this a moment ago. I want to make sure to get it.
So all those in favor of tabling the motion, we're dealing with the amended motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Aye.
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 Well?
It would appear that the motion fails. We'll now do a voice vote.
So he said a voice vote failed, but without having the count, you can't know.
I'm not alphabetically.
We're voting to table
that's all.
To a future meeting. So that's the only thing we're voting.
We'll start here then. We'll go around the room.
And I know this is super like procedural politics kind of stuff, but it was so fascinating how nobody seemed to know how to do any of this. Now, I have the advantage of having watched hundreds and hundreds of meetings. So, yes, I have seen it in Tallahassee. I have seen it in Congress. I have seen it in the Pensacola Council. I've seen it in the Santa Rosa County Commission. I know exactly how this is supposed to work. I was stunned that it seemed like nobody in the room really knew how all of this stuff was supposed to work. Like, for example, if it's a tie vote, does a motion pass or fail? It fails. And they weren't quite sure about that.
So we got 1, 2, 3, 4.
So 4 yays.
2, 4. Is that right? 4 to 4.
So it's 4 to 4 to table.
So, all right, hold on. I'll have to inquire what's the status of that.
So what does that mean? They didn't know whether that's a pass or a fail. Well, it's a fail, but I mean, you know, they didn't know.
I think the motion fails.
Didn't get a majority.
I want to clarify that to the motion fails. Now to the original motion.
Okay, so the tabling failed 4 to 4. Now they're back on the raise itself. 50,000 for a bonus, 25,000 as a raise.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Nay.
Which they've already done.
Motion carries.
One time, and he calls it on the voice that it passes.
All right. For the good of the order, is there any other business to come before us?
And if you're paying attention at this point, you're like, where's the roll call vote? Because that's what he asked for before. Well, he's just going to let that slide? Well, they moved on. They just talked about other things, and the attorney went on to talk about his matters. And then all of a sudden, minutes later, Zach Smith's like, hey, wait a minute.
The next item is open, but the next item is open.
Point of order.
That's Zach Smith, point of order.
I have a question. Why would 4 to 4 be sufficient for the... Would that motion?
He's wondering how a 4 to 4 fails to table, but a 4 to 4 succeeds in passing the raise. He's been going around the room looking at who he thinks voted, counting noses, and he's like, wait a minute, I don't think this passed, and yet we passed it.
I think we'd have to have a roll call vote first. I'm not sure I heard 4 to 4 or 5 to 3. I don't know.
You don't know until you do the roll call.
Pat, did you take the... I think we did a roll call.
Well, on the tabling you did, but not on the motion itself.
So he's even lost track of which things they've done a roll call on or not, which is, I mean, this is the most shenanigans in, like, parliamentary procedure I've ever heard in a meeting. It's crazy what's going on right now from a parliamentary procedure point of view. And I know it's hard to track a little bit because if you haven't seen, but this stuff is so straightforward and they're so confused about it.
I think for the record, it probably should be a roll call. Yeah.
Okay. That'd be fine.
So let's go ahead and out of executive session for this part of it.
So they've come back into this meeting because they had kind of moved out of it. And so they're back into the session where they're actually going to vote on this. And they're not even sure what they're voting on anymore, which is a fair thing to be uncertain about.
Yes or no?
Starting Ms. McDonald.
Yeah. Sir, I'm not sure where we stand on this one again. What are we voting on right now?
So as I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Ball, my amendment to table failed. So we are back to the original motion of whether President Meadows should receive his raise and his bonus. So if you want President Meadows to receive his bonus and his raise, vote in the affirmative, correct?
Correct.
And that is correct. And by the way, if you're ever in a meeting like this where you're voting and you're not sure what you're voting on, by all means ask. I'm glad the person who asked. You should definitely do that.
So no.
No.
Okay.
Yes.
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 No.
No. No.
Sounds like 4 to 4.
So that's 4-4, and so I would assume the motion fails.
Yes, the motion fails without a majority.
And just like that, Ed Meadows lost $75,000. Ouch. That's rough. So in the end, they voted no. They didn't vote to table. They voted no. So 75, you know, again, maybe you, if you're ordinary income, you don't cry over a guy who makes 350 losing 75 grand in bonuses, but, you know, $75,000 over the course of a couple of minutes. And here's the one key takeaway. Who voted no? Zach Smith and the three brand new DeSantis people on the board who don't know anything about Ed Meadows, have no history with all of this, but they know they're there to do. I mean, I'm being uncharitable here, but it's the my read of the situation is they know they're there to do what DeSantis wants, and Zach Smith is DeSantis's guy, and he voted no. The people who voted yes were, you know, all the people you would think, like Chair Sprague and, you know, Andy Hobbs and Ed Fleming. And then, you know, it's all the new people in Zach. And so once again, we're seeing the same exact dynamic play out on the Pensacola State Board of Trustees that you saw at UWF. The insertions, the manipulation, the takeover, and the block voting. And in this case, to deny Ed Meadows $75,000 over the course of some parliamentary confusion and a five or 10 minute discussion. Pay attention. Oh, by the way, apparently Ed tells the PNJ that even though they've never live streamed the readings, they're going to start doing it. You know, I've been the one asking for the audio as this started to become an issue because I wanted to hear what was going on. And now they're going to live stream, which is great. It should be in the public. It should be live streamed. Absolutely. 825 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, flabbergasted sometimes. PJ has got traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash, I-10 eastbound, right at mile marker 11, which is Highway 29. No roadblock associated with that. Also a vehicle crash, North Davis Highway at Berg Street. The roadway is clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you need work done on your heating, air conditioning, electrical, plumbing, your generator, let's say anything like that, Peden can take care of you. They've been doing it since 1969 all along the Gulf Coast. Robert Peden started with just, you know, air conditioning and heating and then plumbing and electrical and then expansion territorially from Panama City east to Tallahassee into the central time zone. West, of course, they've been here for a long time in Pensacola and across the border into Alabama, Baldwin County, even into Mobile County. So everywhere along the Gulf Coast, across two states and two different time zones, they'll take care of you. Good installation, good people, good products, 100% satisfaction guarantee. And right now, they want you to beat the annual regulatory price bumps with big systems. So Peden's new year old stock sale, you can take up to $1,500 off remaining 2025 air conditioning systems before they're gone. Call or book online today at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N.com.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
Hey Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
Beads are fun.
Laissez les bons anglais.
Moon pies too. Traffic, not so much. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Is this your first time?
Yeah, Tommy, it is.
God, you're going to remember this the rest of your life. Can't believe you've never been cow tipping before. Get ready to live.
Everybody's got their first time. Yeah, the texts are coming in, and the consensus is basically, do they not teach parliamentary procedure anymore? No, I mean, you know, if you don't know, you don't know it. But we would certainly hope somebody would know it on the PSC board. Not the greatest showing of efficiency, frankly. Anyway, and I still think it's just a crazy situation for Ed Meadows to have his $75,000 hanging on all of that chaos. If you have employees, you have to deal with benefits, health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, human resources, payroll, all of that. Torgerson Consulting is very, very good at it. Nobody loves doing this stuff. They do. I mean, you know, they love doing it. Most people hate it. Most people are like, oh, all this red tape. I cannot stand it. Well, they're there for you. They've been doing it for more than 20 years here locally, helping businesses like ours and yours. Cat Country and News Radio, we started using them 5 years ago, and they have great customer service. They answer our questions every year. They go and scour the world to try to find the best plans. The world is what it is, but they bring the best of it to us and give us choices, which we did not have before. So we're big fans. My wife's a big fan. Torgerson Consulting, have them come look at what you're doing for no obligation whatsoever. Maybe they can save you money or give you better plans or both. 433-9996 or tcbenefitsgroup.com. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, President Trump rolling out that new savings initiative for kids today called Trump Accounts. The plan provides a $1,000 government deposit for every American child born during his second term. There is a launch event happening in Washington, D.C. today. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, Senator Ted Cruz, rapper Nicki Minaj, all going to be there.
Are you sure he named them Trump accounts? That seems kind of weird.
Fox News, I'm Lillian Wu. Booked for assault, the 55-year-old man who rushed progressive Congresswoman Ilhan Omar at a Minnesota town hall, squirting liquid from a syringe, as she said.
DHS Secretary Kristi Noem must resign or face impeachment.
Omar said she was shaken but unhurt. President Trump on Minnesota immigration enforcement after he sent in Border Czar Tom Homan to talk with the governor, mayor, and law enforcement.
We're going to de-escalate a little bit, but I will tell you, you look at the numbers, they're doing better than they've done in many years.
On the Will Cain Show, the president was in Iowa talking about how he's bringing prices down, about bringing prosperity up for American babies, with a White House summit on the Trump savings accounts. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, and right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 33 degrees. Here across the area. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. The reimagined Palafox project is now in week four and remains on schedule. City officials say demolition is complete. Crews are now replacing water lines and installing stormwater infrastructure. The city's public engagement coordinators walking the street 5 days a week, checking on businesses, and officials say that feedback so far has been positive, with curious visitors stopping in to watch the construction and then patronizing some of the nearby shops and restaurants. That project is on track for the May 24th early completion deadline, which would trigger a contractor bonus. Now, the city of Pensacola disputing claims that a hostile city employee is solely to blame for the Council on Aging pulling out of the Cobb Center. City Administrator David Stafford says the situation is more complicated than that.
So the assertion that this is simply an issue of a hostile city employee, that's not correct. There are deeper issues that need to be looked into by both parties.
Council on Aging Executive Director Josh Newby told News Radio that he'd pulled his employee out of the Cobb Center in August after 16 months of reporting alleged bullying of his employee by a city worker. He said he saw the behavior himself and tried swapping his staff member out with no improvement. Stafford said that the city needs written documentation of specific incidents before they could discipline or relocate anybody. Stafford did say that all seniors at the Cobb Center do continue receiving meals 5 days a week through volunteers and other alternative meal programs. Well, in Century, residents are seeing their trash bills jump by about $10 a month starting in February. The town is switching from Republic Services to Waste Pro after more than 30 years. The new rate is $37.91 a month. That'll be up from $27.44. City resident Marion Brown, town resident Marion Brown, says that the increase will hurt people like her on fixed incomes.
Yes, it's going to be hard. Very hard.
Town Administrator Dave Merzen said the council needed to review contracts that they just hadn't looked at since 2014. Residents will be getting their new garbage cans in the next few weeks. Well, it was a moment that stunned the nation and stunned the world. Today marks 40 years since the Space Shuttle Challenger exploded just 73 seconds after launch from Cape Canaveral, killing all seven astronauts on board. That unfolded live on television and prompted a nationwide pause, including a presidential address. Later that day, President Ronald Reagan spoke to the country after the disaster.
We will never forget them, nor the last time we saw them this morning, as they prepared for their journey and waved goodbye and slipped the surly bonds of Earth to touch the face of God.
The Challenger crew is remembered alongside the astronauts lost in the Columbia shuttle disaster and the Apollo 1 fire. Ceremonies continue this week to honor their lives, their service, their sacrifice in the pursuit of space exploration. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with PJ.
Travis brought to you by Culver's. Try the Club Chicken Sandwich and sign up for the Welcome to Delicious app. Cordova Mall, Mobile Highway in Milton, Culver's Welcome to Delicious. Taking a look at the big board, we have a vehicle crash, US 98 at South 72nd Avenue. No roadblock associated with that. Still dealing with that vehicle crash on I-10 eastbound at mile marker 11, which is Highway 29. No roadblock there. And then also a vehicle crash North Davis Highway at Berg Street. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be looking at a very cold morning with temperatures warming up this afternoon near 51 degrees, sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 30 degrees. Heading into Thursday, partly cloudy skies, high near 54. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 42. As you head into Friday, partly cloudy skies with a 40% chance of a stray shower, high near 57. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 24. Staying active, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke, and we've got 33 degrees. It is partly cloudy this morning. Our next news at 9 o'clock, and we've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. And your money now this morning. Markets are up on Wall Street. The Dow's up about 0.2% at 49.10478. S&P up 0.25% at 69.95.05. The NASDAQ up about 0.4% now at 23.915.459. Looking at that 10-year bond rate up just a bit this morning at 4.25%. Gold prices up 180.70 at 52.63.30. Silver's up $8.10 at 114.06. And looking at Bitcoin, we're up about 825 this morning at 89,847. Taking a look at some financial headlines today. Amazon says they're planning to cut 16,000 jobs. The company announced the layoffs in a memo to employees this morning. Amazon said the cuts will strengthen their organization by reducing layers, increasing ownership, and removing bureaucracy. This comes after they cut 14,000 jobs back in October, mostly at their corporate level. Meta and YouTube are in court this week over accusations that they deliberately created addictive products that harm young users. Snap and TikTok have already settled out of court with the key plaintiff in the case. CEO Mark Zuckerberg is expected to testify at some point during this trial. Well, President Trump says he loves American farmers. In a Fox interview at the Machine Shed restaurant in Iowa, Trump touted his $12 billion farm aid package.
Anybody in this room get any of it yet? Yes, yeah. A lot of people. It's a lot of money. And you know what? You deserved it. But we're taking in so much money from the tariffs that we can do that.
Farmers have lost billions this year in soybean sales after China started going to South American suppliers as trade talks were stalled. It is 8:39. Our next news is at 9 a.m. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Selling a home is personal, and it can feel overwhelming before you even know where to start. A lot of homeowners are told that if they question the cost of selling, it means they are cutting corners or taking risk. That simply isn't true. Wanting clarity and fairness doesn't make you cheap, it makes you thoughtful. I'm Miriam Rogers with Poppy Properties. I offer a full-service listing for only 1%, saving you thousands. And my easy exit agreement means you're never locked into a relationship that isn't working. You still get professional marketing, photography, negotiation, and guidance from contract to closing. What you get less of is pressure. What you keep more of is your equity. This isn't about doing less. It's about doing what's right for you, your situation, and your future. If you're thinking about selling and want to start with information instead of obligation and learn more about my 1% listing model, visit my website at forsalebymiriam.com. That's forsalebymiriam.com.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
The average checking account pays less than a tenth of a percent. PenAir Credit Union's high-yield checking? 5.05% APY. That's more than most savings accounts, and 70 times more than any old checking account. Make every deposit count. Learn more at penair.org/checking. Federally insured by NCUA, PenAir's high-yield checking account pays up to 5.05% annual percentage yield with e-statements and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more.
You don't have to keep jumping around the dial all day.
Start your morning with Pensacola Morning News, weekdays 5 to 9. Stick around for Pep Talk with Meg from 9 to 11. Then it's MVR from 11 till 2, Hughes Hewitt from 2 to 4, and Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin from 4 to 7. One station, one day, everything you need to know. News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, today on The Frivolous Discussion, we are celebrating the birth of one of the most beautiful things ever made by mankind. Do you know this sound? Are your feet cringing in horror at the possibility of stepping on one? It's the birthday of Legos today. Today is the birthday of Legos. That's right. The Lego was created this day in history in, I just had it in front of me, 68 years ago in 1958. So we've had them for a while. So my question for you is, assuming that you have had some experience with the Lego, what's the coolest thing you ever made? And second question, this one might be, I don't know, more interesting or controversial or something, but is it better to give a kid the set that they build according to the instructions, or is it better to give a kid what they call the brick makers, which is just a collection of bricks or some, you know, unbuilt something that you can build anything you want, that anything that your imagination takes over? So sets or random bricks, and then what's the coolest thing that you ever built with your Legos? 437-1620. And let me tell you, I will give you 100% permission. You are allowed to play with Legos as an adult. You are encouraged to play with Legos as an adult. You are especially encouraged to play Legos with your kids as an adult. Don't fight them for the pieces and, you know, don't be a bad parent. Speaking from experience. But anyway, 437-1620. So first thing, PJ, what's the coolest thing you ever built with Legos?
A castle.
Oh, all right. And on your own castle, like you invented it yourself?
No.
It was a set.
That particular one was a set, and okay. I had the horses and the knights.
Oh, okay. So all of the things to make it look perfect,
yes,
in the end,
but
or
mostly
whatever.
Mostly I had just the plain bricks.
Okay, mostly you had the... And so that's the second question is, what do you think is the better gift? Is it the rando bricks, or is it the thing you do the instructions and you build it and end thing?
I think as a kid, I always wanted the sets, but my parents would give me the random ones.
Interesting. Okay, so you wanted the sets. Okay, which I think a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Okay, as kids. Let me give you my view on this, 437-1620. And as always, you can feel free to agree, disagree, or you know have your input, whatever it might be. Everybody likes the sets. There's something great fun about the sets because, you know, you have instructions. It tells you what to do. That is its own kind of value. I am a big advocate of random bricks. And I have two reasons why. Reason number one is because that's you creating. That's you inventing. That's you engineering. That's you solving. That's you figuring out ways to overcome the challenge and what you've wanted. That's bringing your imagination into real life with the resources that you have, sometimes scarce, sometimes the wrong color, you know, whatever the case may be, working with what you've got. But I'm a big believer in the just box of bricks. In fact, one of the coolest things that, you know, every once in a while we go to flea markets and things like this, and you can buy them online too, but Legos are pretty expensive, very expensive these days. You know, buy a couple of pounds of random bricks. Just big bags and boxes of bricks that aren't even put together and give them to a kid. Man, that's fun times. Instead of, here's your $90, if you're lucky, you know, Star Destroyer or whatever, and that's probably cheap for a Star Destroyer. But, you know, because, I mean, they're not bad. But the problem is, A, you're just following instructions instead of creating. But B, when you get done, the tendency is to want to keep it intact instead of how Legos are supposed to be used is, now tear it down and start something else. That reuse, rebuild, reimagine is kind of that's the whole goal is, you know, you got 30 sets all mixed in with each other. And I know for some very organized people, I'm giving them the heebie-jeebies right now, but that's the way it's supposed to be. And then you go there with an idea. I want to build an owl. I want to build a car. I want to build a spaceship. Okay, let's see what we got and let's make it happen according to your own internal design. So 437-1620, what's the coolest thing that you've ever built? I think the coolest thing I ever built with Legos that I like vividly remember kind of thing is about 15 years ago, I remember building a
15 years ago.
I remember because I remember where we were living at the time.
Uh-huh.
It was in Phoenix. And
so
I built.
Still play with them.
I know. Absolutely. Of course. My kids are older. I haven't played a lot with Legos recently, which is sad. But
it was just last night.
About a 2-foot long red dragon out of red bricks only. And even the wings with like the outline of the wings with the little 1x8s, which is kind of hard to do because of the weight. It tends to be a problem. And I was super proud of that dragon. I was pretty impressed with that. It was one of my favorite things. Also, a Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, yes.
I built the Battlestar Galactica. It was only about a foot long, but out of gray bricks and ship bricks and some things like that. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then we tear it apart and build other stuff.
I used my imagination, but I did Buck Rogers.
There you go. All right. Buck Rogers. Awesome. Which, his ship or the Tweety or what'd you build? You remember?
I think it was his ship, okay. And I took one of my smaller figurines and made him Buck Rogers.
You made the princess out of Lego bricks, didn't you? let's see. PJ's got traffic on the fires. PJ?
All right. There's a brand new vehicle crash. West Michigan Avenue at Marseille Drive. That roadway is blocked. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives. Back to you.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you need to get that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality cars. Cars that are a year, two, three, maybe 4 years young with fairly low miles, 10 to 30 or 40 is kind of their sweet spot. They're going to insure everything they sell. Not insure. They're going to warranty everything they sell you up to 100,000 miles or 10 years. That's included. That's not something you pay extra for. That's just what they do because they know they're only selling you good quality cars. Like literally, they go to auction and they only bid on good cars or go to leases or buy back from people. They only buy A quality cars because they're going to have to stand by those cars. And mostly, they want to make sure that you're happy, that when you buy from them, you know you're getting a good car and you have a good experience and you feel treated well with respect. And that way, you want to come back again. That's their business model, is not single-time sales, but repeat sales to customers who love the experience and come back again and again and again. And I feel that way. You know, I want to buy every car I ever buy from Frontier. If it's possible, I do, because I had such a great experience the first time. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. All right, back to the text, the question of the day. It's Lego anniversary, Lego birthday. 68 years ago, Legos were invented, in my opinion, the single greatest toy ever made. For all kinds of reasons. But they're a little expensive. I don't love that. But yeah, they're a great toy. The question of the day is, what's the coolest thing you ever built out of Legos, if you can remember? And then I suppose you could tell me if you still play with them as an adult. The answer should be yes. but also, is it better to give a kid, particularly to a kid, sets or random bricks that they build their own thing? 437-1620, 437-1620. Let's see. Dan says, you just stack them up to see how high you can get them in a straight line. Build things. Who does that? Oh, I mean, everybody who's had enough Legos to do it had tried to reach the ceiling. And of course, the real value of the tower build to the ceiling is not the Legos. It's all the things you do in order to stand tall enough to be able to add them. So that's, you know, a chair on top of the card table, on top of the kitchen table. Not like speaking from experience or anything. Well, why don't you just get a ladder? You know, A, as a kid, you're not strong enough to handle the ladder, but you can put the table on the card table on the kitchen table. I had no pictures. Don't have pictures, but, you know, and B, I mean, come on, you know, if you're building Lego towers, you should be able to build real life towers too, you know? That's, you don't have ladder, amateur. 437-1620, somebody says, give them random bricks, 3! And a smiley face. Somebody said, I've never made anything except a wall with Legos. That's awesome. My son made some neat things and still plays with them, and he's 42. Yes. He gets Lego sets from me for his birthday. My uncle, who used to be was in the Navy for a long time, retired from the Navy. He used to every year on my birthday, he sent me a Lego set. It was the coolest gift ever. And so I had this have these accumulated old sets from my uncle that, you know, he got me into Legos and is probably responsible for the person I am today, as much as anything else in my life, just because of that decision and the ingenuity and the math, the engineering, the creativity, all of that kind of stuff. Somebody says, in 1990, I made a Delta Wing fighter jet with forward canards. Oh, nice. Resembled a cross between the YF-23. Oh, that is a cool plane, too. And the stealth jet from Firefox. Oh, Firefox reference. Your papers, they're not in order. And that's a movie I've been wanting to rewatch for a long time. It's hard to find, actually. I was 15 at the time, and I still have it in a box somewhere. Oh, man, that's great. I love that you kept it all these years. Oh, it's heartbreaking, too, when you make a good Lego creation, and then you're like, I really have to take it apart. That's so painful. Let's see. 437-1620, 437-1620. Legos are just a generic toy when they were first introduced. In more recent years, the licensed sets have been introduced. Kudos to the folks at Lego for expanding their product. Oh, and they definitely have, for sure. They went from being the average kid toy to being kind of the expensive, because they are expensive these days. The sets eventually become mismatched bricks soon enough. Oh, that's true. And then, you know, you're trying to build the original thing and you can't find all the bricks because things get lost. They get vacuumed. The dog eats them, all that kind of stuff. 437-1620. Somebody says, I built an Egyptian pyramid one time. Oh, that's cool. I love it. It's just, yeah. You know what? If all I do today is inspire a couple of you to go play with the Legos with the kids, hey, that's a huge win. I'm excited.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
We'll have a look at all the fun things to do in Pensacola in the new year, including Pensacola Mardi Gras, SBC basketball, and so much more.
Friday at 9, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
You don't want rumors.
You want confirmation.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
You want confirmation.
Informative, local, dependable.
I'm still young enough to whip your butt, Stallion.
Oh, yeah? Well, how are you going to do that? You taught me everything you know.
Almost everything. You got to remember now, you fight great, but I'm a great fighter. Huh?
Oh, I made a terrible mistake. I had an opportunity to pay off a listener for their great reference, and I didn't choose it. I just, you know, as happens often in my job, I got thinking about one thing, I think thinking about something else. I completely forgot to look at the tennis ball.
Your papers are not in order.
They're in order. Look at them again.
No. They are not in order.
Oh, man. The Clint Eastwood movie Firefox is a genuine classic, and it's hard to find. So somebody had referenced that in the previous segment. Oh, somebody, actually, this is kind of a neat one. They said on your Legos, give your kids a random box of Legos and then give them the picture and say, here, make that. That's a wonderful. I love that as a task. 8:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You know, just a note on the Challenger. I had not, this is the benefit sometimes of living in a place and seeing things from a different perspective. It had never occurred to me until today that I was curious how many naval aviators were on that mission. Because, you know, we're a Navy town, and if they're a naval aviator, they would have come here for A school. They would have possibly gone to Whiting for, you know, learning how to fly fixed wing. If they were a helicopter pilot, you know, they would have gone there for Hilo school. And it turns out, and I kind of mentioned this before, but there's another part of this I want to tell you about. It turns out that of the people who were lost in the Challenger disaster, only one of them was a Navy guy. Michael Smith was a captain. And he did come to Pensacola for his introductory. He went to Jets at Meridian, so I'm not sure if he went for primary to Whiting. I couldn't find it in his bio. And sometimes they're not as specific as I would like them to be about their history because I want to know who's connected to us, you know. But obviously he's connected to us because he's a Navy guy. But also what it got me thinking about is he was an A-6 pilot in Vietnam. And if you're like me, and I usually kind of assume that I'm kind of like most people in thinking about these things, you tend to picture these heroes as the age they were when the disaster happened. You know, Krista McAuliffe is, you know, in her 30s or whatever, and, you know, everybody's in their 30s or their 40s, and you kind of fix, when people die, you tend to think of them as the age they were when they passed away. But as a, I mean, think about that, a Vietnam pilot, so he actually would have been like 80 this year. You know, so... you know, people are, he would have been 81 this year. Krista McAuliffe, I think, would have been 78. And just as a, you know, kind of a perspective on, we tend to freeze in time people's lives once they pass away and not think about what would have happened had they survived and who they would have been. But all of these people, since it was a 40-year-ago disaster, all these people would have been in their 70s now. And most of them were civilians or Air Force. Except for, again, Michael John Smith, who was a Navy pilot, jet pilot. 8:55, News Radio 92.3. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash, West Michigan Avenue at Marseille Drive. They're saying the roadway is blocked. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If your kid is struggling with math or you just realize maybe they could be better at it, that doesn't happen on its own. It takes a strategy. And part of the strategy is to figure out which pieces, which building blocks, which Legos, you might think, in the overall structure of their ability to do math well are missing or got underdeveloped. And that can be fixed. That can be remedied. Mathnasium does that for folks all the time. And listen, I'm a big fan of Mathnasium. Our very dear friends own the local franchises, and they're so good at what they do. My son taught at Mathnasium as a tutor for a year. We are big believers in the value of math and their program. It's completely free to go find out what's going on with your kid. So you got a kid who's struggling or maybe was doing well and isn't or doesn't like a teacher or, you know, or maybe you frustrated because you can't teach them because the way you learned is not the way they're learning. Go to Mathnasium. The assessment is totally free and they'll figure out, okay, they're good at this. They're okay at this and they're really not quite good at this. And we can teach all of that. That's why, you know, 93% of parents report an improved attitude, 90% report an improved school grade because of Mathnasium. They have step-up money. They're eligible providers for that, like tutoring money from the state. So just go and talk to them. And like I said, the assessment is completely free. They're located in the Marshalls, next to Marshalls in the Fresh Market Shopping Center at 9th and Airport. 8:57 on News Radio 92.3. Have you seen the picture of the cow scratching its back with the stick? I love it. First of all, as an itchy back scratcher person myself, I, you know, game, respect game. But also, it's so fascinating because typically cows are not tool-using creatures. That's why this has made itself into a story is because, you know, cows are not normal. I mean, chimpanzees, obviously, you know, apes, monkeys, they use tools. But in this case, you've got a cow that's actually, you know, with its mouth because, you know, they don't have opposable hooves. he's doing a side, or she, I guess, is doing a side scratch with it. Basically, it's a floor brush, you know, the kind that's got the long piece and then the short piece and then the bristles coming out of the short piece at a 90-degree angle. And here's what's extra fascinating about it is that the cow has learned, Veronica is a Swiss brown cow in a small Austrian town of Notch im Geit. Don't speak German. Anyway, the cow doesn't just use the tool. The cow uses the tool differently depending on which part of her body she's scratching. This is amazing. The side with the bristles is used when she rubs at the thick skin of her upper body. The blunt handle part is used for the other areas of her lower body where the skin is more delicate, such as her udder, apparently. I don't quite understand that relationship, but that's what they say is she not only uses the tool to scratch herself, but she even uses different parts of the brush in different ways for different parts of her body. I love it. Now, my question, what I really, really want to know, this is the sort of hopeful slash horrifying part. I'm not so fascinated by Veronica scratching herself. What I am fascinated by is, are there any other cows or bulls in the vicinity, and are they going to learn the trick? Because if we have animals learning from other animals how to do, which of course, you know, apes do all the time, dolphins, you know, high functioning mammals do this kind of stuff all the time. Cows, not typically. But that would be the question is, will she, not only does she know how to use a tool, but can she teach the tool to others? Are others smart enough to pick up on the trick? Because that would be fascinating. And then you have the whole, like, 100 monkey phenomenon of, you know, when you reach a critical mass of monkeys in this area doing a thing, can it spread across an island even to other, you know, will other cows? So in 50 years, will it just be normal that cows scratch themselves with the brooms we leave them in their sty or whatever? And I don't know the answer to that, but I'm fascinated to learn. All right, that's it for me. Meg is up next. Have a good day. It's going to be cold again. Be safe out there.